Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Before the pause, I was mentioning a presentation I'm going to give at San Juan Rotary on Tuesday on the acronym SHIELD. And the first, you know, the S stands for sleep. And there have been a couple of articles on that. One just finished coming out today in a magazine called Very Well Mind. And it's, you know, nine steps to help in the sleep. But this is more from the physical thing. The paragraph says approximately, introductory paragraph to the article says approximately 50 to 70 million people in the United States experience sleep disorders that affect their mental and physical health. Getting less than 7 hours of sleep per night can increase your likelihood of developing depression, anxiety, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, poor glucose tolerance, hypertension, and obesity. Luckily, it goes into the steps that are recommended by sleep neurologists and certified persons on sleep hygiene and all that kind of thing. The one is to plan ahead and basically make sure that you wind down early enough and that you have a schedule that's consistent, so that so you're not all of a sudden you're not working on a critical tension kind of thing at 10 o'clock and then trying to get to sleep at 10:15, or you're not doing really hard sports, or you're eating at 10 o'clock at night and trying to get to bed, half an hour later. You just have to plan ahead, And then, of course, we all know to create a peaceful location for the sleep. Dark and quiet, and all. And the develop a winding down routine, which is kind of like planning ahead. This particular person, at least 1 or 2 hours before sleeping, step away from work and to-do lists and things that are overstimulating, so it's calming down. And I've been saying that thing that has worked fantastically well since the retreat is to do breathing. I do breathing exercises and meditation just before going to bed, and it has done wonders. It's been fantastic in terms of how quickly I get to sleep and how deep the sleep is. I usually don't get up all during the whole night, and I don't put on an alarm clock. Sometimes it's depending on when I go. I'm not that consistent the hour I go to sleep. depending on when I go to sleep, if I go to sleep at 11, which is when I should, I get up without alarm clock around 5:30 to 6, and if I go later at 12 or whatever, 12:15, then I get up around 7:30, and if I do stay up late, it's because I fell asleep watching TV. So it's not like I still, not as good as getting good sleep in your bed, but it's still restful, even though the TV is on without anybody watching. Number five is to help they go to, and he says, he goes to bed, my personalized is I'm very strict about not eating anything after dinner, which is about 3 hours before my bedtime. So, the sleep hygiene and the habits and the I think it's kind of repetitive, the planning and all, but again, don't get alcohol, caffeine, food, bright light, but get. Then use sound as a sense of sleep, that quiet and all. I run out of lights here at the studio, and now come back on. Okay, and Van Rector says I can continue. Okay, music for some people. It's not just quiet, some kind of nature sounds for others. I have never needed that really. And then don't bring, you know, stress to your bed. This is number eight. You know, make sure you get rid of the kinds of things that you have to think out, analyze much earlier during the evening. And in that respect, I watch TV and I do. And analytically, I watch these different programs, but I don't. I try to avoid. I rarely will work on something that's professional. I mean, that involves my professional consulting things, or even in the philanthropic civic areas. I rarely do. I just watch TV, and I find that relatively relaxing. And then number nine is when you blow it. And we all blow it. You treat yourself with compassion and don't beat yourself over the head about it, and just get back to the thing. So there were a couple of besides this this article in Very Well Mind, there were two really excellent articles. One in Primera Hora on the 8th of April. Sabemos muchos del sueño, pero dormimos peor. We know a lot about sleep, but we sleep worse. In other words, everybody is conscious of how important sleep is, yet the demands of and the pressures of getting things done and being productive make it difficult to do what we have to do. So it's just a challenge. And another article that a little bit earlier in the supplement, in El Nuevo Día, and the title was "Por qué es importante el sueño profundo," and why the profound sleep is important. And basically, it cites a person, Dr. Mauricio Alejandro Conejo, of the neuroscience, Cognitive Neuroscience Institute, and a person that I have to get a hold of because I was very impressed with a conference I went to by that institute, and he goes into all the important things beyond the physical diabetes inside of me, but the importance of that to your emotional stability, to your memory, to be able to focus much more in the efficiency of your brain by having profound sleep. And that's something that's absolutely critical. And he says, that and we all know that if you don't sleep well, you're irritable the next day, you have trouble focusing, and as we have mentioned on occasions, so sleep is not only restores the health of the mind and the stability, but also there's a whole process that of the memory and of the analysis during the day. And so when we say let's sleep on it, it's not only you're going to be restful the next day to be able to analyze it, but that during that sleep you are helping to analyze issues that came up during the day. Of the shield, that sleep is absolutely critical. I kind of was smiling, because the other article here is in relative to this acronym of shield, which is the diet. It's in this seis alimentos que previenen las arrugas, six foods that prevent wrinkles, which is another way of, for money, our well-being. But they're the typical things that we all know, avocados, the tomatoes, broccoli, kale, carrots, and of course the salmon, sardines, tuna, so they're helpful for a lot of things, your brain health and everything else, but helpful for your wrinkles, for those who will give that a great deal of importance. And finally, in connection with the acronym, a shield, and the D stands for, the D, of course, stands for diet, which we just covered, but the The H of SHIELD stands for handling stress. And there's an article that I'm mentioning best just because, sometimes there's an article and you read it and it frankly doesn't make much sense. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's an article that says estresada o abrumada, stressed or overwhelmed is the, and it goes into an analysis that there's a difference between being overwhelmed, which is more emotional, versus stress, which, although it's mental, it affects your physical. And I just cannot understand it. I mean, and the kinds of things you have to do to work with being overwhelmed or being stressed are the same thing. As far as I'm concerned, if you're overwhelmed and aren't being able to handle it, it affects your physically. And stress affects you physically, emotionally. I don't see the difference, but what is good in the article is the 12 different recommendations in order to handle stress and in that respect, I think that, in that respect, the article is pretty good. A lot of it avoid over. Overexposition to digital things, to learn how to regulate your body and calm your mind, breathing exercises that are profound, pauses during the day to make sure your mindfulness during the day, walk without the digital stimulation. I do it out in nature and relax, recuperate. Spaces during the day. Again, some of these things they give us numbers, and when you read it and analyze it, they could have done it in 3 or 4. It happens all the time, and that's why I like SHIELD, because SHIELD is each one is important and each one is different. Although they interact, they interrelate, but these things I say 9 or 10, and then you read them and you realize that they could have been said in a much less number. So anyway, that's the aspect of SHIELD. I like to kind of keep on going to it, and I find it good for me, and there's always something new. And even if the analysis says that that's not what you agree with, well, that's really important, because then you at least from a personal opinion, what you've read and what you've analyzed brings you at least to what you can understand is good for you. And again, I'm always very conscious that what I think is good for me doesn't necessarily apply to anybody else, and it's always very personal. Okay, so changing the topic from this SHIELD and moving to something new, there was an article and it came out today, and it's Renace el Museo de Arte de Ponce, with Maria, the Ponce Museum and was really, really destroyed. And it has been so difficult to get everything together, and I've been following it along. And they had the inauguration of the reconstruction. It's going to involve $30 million and real, structural issues that have to be resolved. In the meantime, we know that they saved and took care of all of their artwork, and they also lent it out, within Puerto Rico and outside. So they took advantage of this sabbatical to work on it. And it's a very moving article, because Maria Luisa Ferre Rangel, who's the chairman of the board of the Ponce Art Museum, it was very, very emotional. She said when, after this, what happened with Maria and all, that the ceilings were falling, the walls were cracked, there were holes in the ceiling, she says, el hueco en el techo. And seeing the people taking care of, in fact, risking a little bit of their lives, you know, taking care of the artwork. She said that she just cried. Y por qué esforzarse tanto por amor a Puerto Rico, dirá después. I know why so much effort is because of love for Puerto Rico. Y es amor por saber que lugares como este no hacen mejor, nos hacen mejores y hacen a Puerto Rico mejor. And this love for places like the museum makes us better and Puerto Rico better. Of course, this is a legacy that's really important. Her grandfather, started it, Luis Ferré. And she cites Luis Ferré in a really, I think, a very emotional statement. It says, let me say it in Spanish and then translate it. Donde hay emoción, hay arte. Donde hay arte, hay vida. Donde hay vida, hay esperanza. Y donde hay esperanza, hay redención. It says, where there is passion, there is art. Where there is art, there is life. Where there is life, there is hope. And when there is hope, there is redemption. And this last word, redención, redemption, is kind of a shocking word, right? You think of redemption in terms of religious, where you have fallen into sin or addiction, or if it's not religion, but within the concept of emotion and art, that you recover life and then you recover hope and then redemption. And so I kind of reflected on it and haven't really come forward with a thought that at this moment that really explains for me what that really means. My initial feeling is that we all have to improve. We all have to look for ways that we become better, that we become happier, that we become some better sense of well-being. So what I think he's saying is that all of this goes through this and at the end this is going to be helpful for us to improve in that sense of redemption. Speaking of words, there were a couple of articles also in Nuevo Día, and two of them kind of go together, and I don't even know which one to start off, but let's start off with Luis Rafael Sánchez, because then Silverio Pérez is talking about him. But Luis Rafael Sánchez, the Puerto Rican author, was inducted into the Caja de Letras del Instituto Cervantes. And, Caja de Letras, how you translate it, but it's certainly not box of letters, which is the literal translation. I think it would be depository of literature, de esos Cervantes, and a great recognition. We're right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, your host, Reflections.